If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Hey, what do we have? Three days left for?
RPG.
Oh, it's the RGB.
The RGB bundle. That's the maps red, maps green, maps black, 9 months of exercise programming.
Final 3 days to get your free shirts.
Red, green, and black.
You get three shirts, one for each program. You get the maps red shirt, you get the maps green shirt, and the maps black shirt. And you can guess what color the maps is in each of those.
Want to take a guess? 9 months of personal training.
9 months of exercise programming available at mindpumpmedia.com. Get your
Mix
free shirts.
Mix it together and maybe brown.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
All the cool kids do some fucked up shit. You know,
whoa.
Under the hood.
You got
I don't know any of the words.
I like when you take your voice and then you make it sound like Pearl Jam.
That was Pearl Jam?
That was you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Pearl Jam
like,
this morning.
Yeah. And then you go, you kind of. Yeah, there it is. So
sound like Creed to me.
You know what's
that was like the half-assed version of Vedder.
You know what's a little awkward?
What?
When you're in a public bathroom and you're pooping or you're about to poop, and then some dude goes in the stall next to you and he's about to start pooping.
Oh.
Now pooping makes noise. You know what I mean? It's not a silent.
You're trying to squelch it a little bit. Like, you don't want too much.
But it's so stupid because I'm sitting there and I'm like, but why? He's pooping too?
Yeah.
Like, why do I got to be quiet?
Blast it.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
And so that just happened to me earlier, like literally 10 minutes ago. I was in there. Dude comes in. First of all, it's always interesting because you look at their shoes, right? Because you're always like, you're judging them.
And how shifty they are.
Yeah, you're looking at their shoes. So this guy had flip-flops on. So I'm like,
I could pee all over.
Yeah, let me see his teeth. Let me look at his toes. And then it's like the pooping starts, and because I have a little bit of knowledge of gut health and stuff, I find myself wanting to ask him. No, no.
Hey, you want me to take a look at your stool for you, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, can you not flush? God. Can you not flush? I want to take a look later. No, it's the sounds and the amount of
So you're giving
room.
So you're giving coaching advice on the other side.
I'm thinking
you're a little too high protein. You know,
sure, if he's like it sounds it. Like you need a little more fiber in your diet.
It was a little loose.
If it's a little more squeaky, maybe.
No. There wasn't any farting, but it was definitely loose. Like there was too many plops. You know what I'm saying? So I caught myself like, why are you judging this guy's? You know, pooping.
You're breaking down his actual amount of drops.
Yeah, so stupid.
Sal drops a business card on the other side.
But I do find
it. Contact me.
But I do find it. There's
weird bird
situations in society that we are embarrassed about, even though the other person
is doing the same thing.
Yeah, like imagine this: you go to a sex shop, you're by yourself, you're like, I'm gonna buy some sex toys, right? And you run into like a person you know. You're embarrassed, but they're in there too.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Hey. And then you start lightsabering together. Yeah.
Your parents.
Yeah.
That would be awkward.
They got the big old rubber fist.
No.
I think that would be the only image in my head. Yeah, I
think that would
be
the only,
anybody else, I wouldn't care. If I ran into someone else, I'd be like, oh, funny seeing you here. Yeah. What are you getting?
Well, okay, now picture this. First of all, let me ask you guys this question. If you were to go to a sex shop, I'm pretty sure you guys have been, but let's say if you were to go, what would you be buying?
How dare you?
Oh, why don't you just ask, what did we buy last? What was the last thing you bought there?
What was the last thing?
Yeah.
All right.
A video.
Really?
Yeah.
Who buys videos?
Well,
that's such a stupid investment.
No, here's
this is stupid.
It is. You can't just go on the internet when you're watching it with your wife.
I'm still a DVD. I'm still a DVD.
It gets really weird.
What?
Yeah.
So the last thing you went to an actual sex shop.
I don't know if I'm alone here, but most women, like, they like it all high production. You know, like they want like the story.
There has to be a story.
You know what I mean? Like yeah, it can't just be like, here's porn, like something I would look at normally.
My girl would rather see like Cinemax type porn.
That's what I mean.
Than like the like hardcore shit that you
that's
like.
Most,
you know?
That's most,
like,
that's,
shit on my face.
Whoa.
Hello.
Wow. You went super far with that.
Yeah.
No, most women are like that. And that's because that women are aroused by psychological cues, whereas men are aroused by visual cues. Right. But anyway, so the last time you went,
I
Justin.
I like to be romanced a little bit too. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the Cinemax.
Shut up, bro.
Get out of here.
Shut the fuck up right now.
Because in my head, I'm going like, oh, you know.
God, if I roll my eyes any harder, I'm going to go, my eyes will go look the back of my head.
I'm like, are they going to do it? Maybe they're not going to.
So you're like, is the pizza guy going to come in here?
Yeah, right.
Know.
The anticipation. Like, I'm like, oh, this could get.
What's
this
happening?
Could, yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, God.
Where when you watch some of that hardcore shit, like as soon as it turns on, it's like heavy pounding.
Does Stephanie still like him?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no foreplay.
So hold on. So Justin, last time you went, it was a video.
Yeah.
What about you, Adam?
Fuzzy handcuffs.
Fuzzy handcuffs?
Whoa. I think so.
Wow.
I like it.
Or maybe one of those
great choice.
Or maybe one of those games where you roll the dice.
Oh, the roll of the glow in the dark dice.
See, that's good when you have friends over and stuff. Yeah.
What?
Huh? Anyways, dinner at my house Friday.
Oh my God, no.
All right.
I don't want to go to your parties now.
What was yours?
Huh?
I
just realized something horrible about this conversation.
The big 16-inch freaking...
It was going to come back to me eventually.
4-inch diamond. Yeah. Tell us what you bought there.
The Hitachi wand.
There's a thing called the Hitachi wand?
See, you fuckers are just... I swear to God...
That sounds high performance.
I need to teach you guys. Yeah. It is high performance. So in vibrator land... There's certain vibrators that are just the best. Now, the Rabbit is very popular. We all know what that is.
Yeah.
But if you go with just a straight vibrating head, the Hitachi makes the best vibrator. And it's it looks like the back massager. And it's got the big round head at the front. Uh-huh. And you plug it in because the battery ones are just too weak. And it...
they burn out.
Wait.
Yeah.
You breaking concrete or what? The battery shits way too.
Let's just say it vibrates so fast the click gets into quantum levels. No, but it catches
on fire.
Boom! Turn it out. No, but it's no. That's it. That's it. That's the last thing I got.
Damn.
Good. I'm glad you guys didn't ask me what I got before that.
Is it big?
Huh?
Is it big? How big?
You've never
it?
Seen a back massager? You know the ones that vibrate. It's like this big, dude.
Damn.
You never seen that?
Those are
big. That's quite some machinery.
Those are big.
Why does it got to be small? It's not big. Like, you can handle it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is the guy that was trying to tell us that, like, big dicks turn you on.
No, bro.
Yeah.
It's fucking science.
He was trying to sell that to us.
No, it's science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called sperm competitions.
Well, I got you.
Since then, I've been looking at a lot of big naked dicks, and I haven't been turned on by them.
It did not give me any
tigglies. I don't know how I feel about that.
I know. No. I told Katrina, we're going to watch Big Dicks for a night. I'm going to see if this works. I don't know.
Sal told me that this
Sal
is the answer.
Says it's science, hon. Yeah. Says it's science.
It is, fool. Yeah. I guarantee you, you're not watching porn of guys with small dicks having sex with women. You're watching porn of guys with big dicks having sex with women.
Switch it to vaginas, please.
Yes. Huh? Boobies.
Just scissoring.
Yeah.
Nothing else?
Yeah.
Mm.
Is it?
What the?
Chimera Quaw! Today's Quaw is being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw!
The eagle has landed!
Quee Qua.
Comic Fitness is asking about his knees. One of them gives out when he squats. There's no pain. Is it an imbalance or an injury?
So I've actually had...
Well, he would know if it was an injury, I would think.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. This is interesting now because this is what I'm reading into this particular question. I've had a few clients with similar situation, and the wording he's using is gives out.
Mm.
Where, like, while he's in squat,
ligament, like too much range of motion,
or it just loses power. It sounds to me like, oh, the knee gives out. You ever have someone say that to you? Like, oh, I'm walking.
Normally, when someone that gets all wobbly and loses, right?
You like know? They lose stability and it goes from stable to unstable.
Neurological issue?
I don't think it's that. I think there may be an old injury there. Here's the thing, if you tear your meniscus or if you have, and I doubt it's a torn ACL or PCL or anything like that, but if it's a, if you have a tear in your meniscus, sometimes the meniscus itself can get in between the joint in a way that causes the knee to feel like it gives out. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of a previous injury that, you know, he, everything healed in terms of inflammation and stuff, but that particular connective tissue didn't fully, you know, heal. And so now he's feeling that the knee gives out, because that's the word he used. It gives out. It's not like it just feels weaker. It just, it goes out, you know, it goes out. So here's what I'll say to that. Besides, you know, having to get it looked at by a doctor. And if it doesn't, and you can, there's knee tests you can do. You could test your ACL, PCL. You could test your meniscus. One easy test on the for the meniscus is lay on your back, have somebody hold your foot with your leg straight, and be totally relaxed, and then have them twist your foot to the right and to the left until you tell them to stop, and see if you notice any pain or instability in the knee. And that could kind of give you a clue as to whether or not your meniscus might have some issues. But the fix is the same regardless. It would be to make your hips stronger. Mm-hmm. Strengthen your hips in all directions, but especially laterally, because I've noticed that in or lack of lateral stability tends to make the knee feel, especially if there's an issue with the ligaments of the knee, feel like it's given out, you know, because a barbell squat is a very kind of straightforward movement. And if at the bottom of the movement, his knees come out a little bit or come in a little bit, which is common with most people, it doesn't have to happen a lot. But let's say it comes in and comes out a little bit, it'll add pressure to some of those stabilizing ligaments. And if there's one that's not as strong, it's going to feel like it gives out. And so the way to remedy that would be to strengthen the lateral stability, or the, you know, the, even work on the rotational ability of the hips would be my best guess.
Well, so there's a, it could be something else too, right? So I've seen this before where let's say you you know, you tore your ACL, MCL, you had some sort of like knee injury, or it doesn't even have to be a knee, it could just been somewhere in your leg on your, you know, the side that is giving out, right? And so for a long time, you've crutched that side and you've now overcompensated on the opposite side. So you have like this really dominant, let's just say I had the right knee is bad, or the right leg is bad. And then I overcompensate to the left side. So now my left side becomes really dominant. And so then when I go to do like a squat, you know, that left side has taken over for such a long time. So now when I'm healed, I'm better and I'm starting to exercise again and I'm starting to increase weight, that dominant side, you know, when that weight is squat, when you're squatting down that weight, that right side gets wobbly because it's weak. Because it's underdeveloped and
lost connection.
Yeah, and it's, and so this, I actually would tell somebody like this to do a lot of unilateral movements. So I would do like single leg presses and do a lot of single leg type movements to help strengthen that and then catch it back up. And if that is the case,
could be, yeah, like a stability issue, like, yeah, something that, yeah,
could
you're,
be
you're not responding like the way it used to, not just the strength issue, but it's also not like properly stabilizing.
Yeah, like a single leg toe touch.
Yeah,
you know, and always starting with the weaker side first. So I would do movements like that.
So then you think probably the, he's asking injury or imbalance, he probably had an injury that healed. And I mean, this is just a guess, obviously, but if he's not feeling pain, you would feel a pain if it was still injured or torn or something like that. You would be able to notice like some kind of feedback from that.
Exactly.
Otherwise, like from at this point, I feel like it's definitely seems like it would be a corrective issue.
And this is like, this is more common than you would think with, and this is my pet peeve with physical therapist. I tore my ACL and MCL, and I had a I don't want to say a bad experience, but I was disappointed.
It was both.
I did.
ACL and MCL?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. The ACL, it was a partial tear on the ACL, MCL I severed.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I went through physical therapy, you laughing at?
Sorry.
He's just making faces at me. Continue, Adam.
Fucking guy.
Sorry.
I was giving them the blah.
When I went through physical therapy, I was really disappointed in the way it was ran. I couldn't believe that, you know, I'm rehabbing this knee, and I'm in a setting which is very common with a physical therapist office, where there's five people that are, you know, on, everyone's at different stations, and there's timers, and it's like, okay, you do ball squats, you're doing, you know, ankle weighted leg extensions, and you're doing single leg, bounce the ball up. What? So he's got, they've got like five or six people that are moving, and they're on these stations, and they're all doing rehab work. And this, and it's only managed by one or two people. And I'm thinking to myself, they put me in, I remember being on like ball squats, you know, so I got the wall, the ball behind my back, and I'm squatting up and down, you know, and I'm, and for me, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be really concentrating on coming down controlled and evenly distributing my weight. But that takes
all
a lot.
Gaining depth and all that.
Yes, yeah, yes.
It's just there to support like a little bit more, you know, from your posterior.
And there's, and the problem is that's really challenging because I just had an injury there. So yeah. Naturally you have an asymmetrical shift away from it, and you start to, you know, overcompensate on the other side. Well, because I'm a trainer, I know what the fuck I'm doing, and I'm not doing that. But I thought, wow, she just set me on here. She doesn't know that, you know. She walks away, and if I were to just keep going up and down the squatting, I'm gonna just make this deviation even worse. Sure, right. I'll be able to walk again, and they'll get physical therapy. Will get me out, check me out of physical therapy. But
so they weren't identifying the bad recruitment pattern. They were more just like identifying where the injury was and what kind of movements in general would help provide.
Here's the thing: I want to give them strength. Some credit, because physical therapists can do that, and they're trained to do that.
Of course.
Here's the problem. The problem is she has, or he has, six people in a room.
Yeah.
Insurance companies tell them what they can and can't do, and they have to get you in and get you out. And that's just the nature of the way it's constructed. Your insurance covers your therapy up to bringing back range of motion. Mm-hmm. It does not cover you up to getting you back to where you were before. So you could have an injury, go in there, bring back range of motion, but you're still weak as hell, and
or imbalanced.
Or like, that's what I mean. And then they'll set you off, and you're on your own. I have had more than a dozen clients sent to me from doctors, because I train a lot of doctors, and the doctors will send them to me over physical therapists for that particular reason, because they'll go to the therapist, get the range of motion, and then never go back to where they were before. And of course, that just sets you up for all kinds of problems later on. Like, you know, what you're talking about, Adam, is I'm glad you brought that up, because the intent of what you're doing when you're doing the exercise is just as important as the exercise.
100%.
Like, if you just do
shit, it's almost more.
Yeah, if you just do the exercise, that's fine. But if you do the exercise understanding that you need to balance your weight, understanding that you need to not shift to one side, understanding that you need to do it under control and stability and focus on that, if you don't do any of that, you're not going to get much out of the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Intent is very, very important when it comes to exercise. So with this particular individual with his knee, number one, like I said, work on hips, definitely work on hips. The hips are what make the knee stable. That's the bottom line. I want to say that again. You want stable knees and strong knees. You need to have good range of motion with your hips. You need to have good stability within the hips in multiple directions, good flexibility and mobility within the hips. And then I would also do some unilateral exercises, like do some, here's a good easy one, sit down on a bench and try to stand up with one leg.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Yeah.
Or if that's too hard for you, sit down with just that one leg. So rather than doing the positive, just try and lower yourself on the bench with that one leg, and maybe hold on to something for balance and help, and that'll help strengthen that leg up.
Zen, 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 zen. What are your thoughts on distilled water?
Everything's zen.
Waste.
Distilled water.
It's a waste.
Is actually, I'll go this far. I'll even go as far as to say,
let's take all the minerals out.
Dangerous.
Don't drink distilled water. Don't. Here's what distilled water does. Distilled water pulls shit out of your body.
Oh, it's like a vampire.
Because your body tries to balance itself out. And so drinking lots of distilled water, especially over long periods of time, will and can cause mineral deficiencies.
It's a stupid idea that the bodybuilding world is perpetuating.
Yeah, because they were trying to avoid all sodium.
Why do they even promote? Oh, sodium.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like as if the sodium in mineral water is fucking so high that they have to.
Well, it's now the water, you won't hold on to it. It goes right through you. It's like you didn't even.
Not only does it go through you, it pulls all other shit out of you.
Yeah, if you ever drank distilled water, it's like you drink a half gallon, it doesn't feel like you drank anything. It just goes right through because there's no value to it.
Yeah.
Distilled water becomes acidic because it attracts carbon monoxide. When you expose it to air and then drink it, It's not a good idea.
It's not healthy. It's not smart. And the only reason why anybody would take it or think that it's a good idea is the bodybuilding community. It serves no purpose for anybody else. It's really ridiculous, but it's still even ridiculous for them because I don't know how many times I'm going to stress this, that your 60% of your fucking muscles are water.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get on stage and present yourself, you want water in you. And the bodybuilding community has told everybody, oh, you want to be dry, dry as a bone, and you want to take all the water out. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't want to take all the water out. You want to keep water in your muscle. Subcutaneous, yes. You don't want a bunch of extra water you want to hold, but you don't want to take it all out. Your body, you want that inside your muscle belly so you're filled out.
Well, there's lots of evidence that people who tend to drink distilled water will almost always test with multiple mineral deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want a mineral deficiency. You don't want any kind of a vitamin or mineral deficiency, but mineral deficiencies, they can really affect your central nervous system. They can cause things like magnesium deficiency. Relatively, I don't want to say common, but more common than you would think, especially amongst athletes. And they cause everything from anxiety, hormone disruptions, you know, issues and disruptances. They can cause depression, reductions in cognition and IQ. So there's a lot of people out there, and this has actually been documented, who have horrible issues with things like anxiety and paranoia and OCD, and they'll supplement with magnesium and poof, goes away.
Mm.
Drinking distilled water is just, I can't think of any good reason to use it except for, and only doing this under the care of a good naturopath, potentially drawing out particular toxins body.
I mean, it's kind of weird and kind of yoga / hippie or whatever, but if you think about like the body is like an electrical conducting, you know, moving object, you know, like you're taking out a lot of the minerals that interact with the water. You need those minerals for, you know, proper signals to travel. Mm-hmm. Right.
There's actually a correlation, it hasn't been connected, but there's a correlation between the consumption of soft water, which is, you know, soft water has very, very little minerals in it, distilled water being the softest. And that soft water just means, like, if you have a water softener, it's designed to remove minerals out of your water because people don't like, you know, water spots on their shower, or they like that their soap lathers better, you know, when they use soft water. And it's fine to bathe with it. But nonetheless, there is a correlation with the consumption of soft water and increased incidence of cardiovascular disease. We also know that mineral deficiencies, even mild mineral deficiencies, is linked to cardiovascular disease. So I see zero reason to ever drink distilled water unless you want to be an idiot. If you want to be an idiot, I think you should purchase distilled water.
This is America. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want.
I mean, I didn't look at the person who posted this, but it's got to be a bodybuilding type question. It's the only reason why I would even consider doing it, because it's popular, actually. You see,
yeah, I've never even thought of doing that.
Oh, God, dude. I don't know how many guys I was competing next to, and they're like, oh, yeah, my coach has got me on all distilled water for the next week.
I'm
like,
God.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking smart.
God, among all
of them, I don't feel good.
I don't know what's worse, that he fucking told you to do that or you fucking listened, you know? Like,
well, I'm looking at their...
Did you Google that before you just started doing it, or you just started doing it?
No, it's not a bodybuilder. It's not a bodybuilder at all. It's actually, it looks like a wellness-type person, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
yeah, but, I mean, dude...
Or maybe they know that. They just want to hear us talk shit about it.
Maybe. Yeah. You know,
because they're a wellness person. They're like, they know it's stupid. Yeah,
I saw somebody doing this.
I tell you what...
I'll let mine
roast them.
Yeah.
I tell you what, bodybuilding has brought some great things to fitness. It's what brought resistance training to the masses. But it's brought some stupid shit. And I'm always shocked at how much stupid shit from bodybuilding permeates, like, regular society.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one of those fucking things.
We all look up to them. They're the ones in the covers of our magazines and telling everybody.
I'm gonna tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure I'm gonna piss a lot of people off, but probably the last person in the fitness industry you should really listen to when it comes to things like diet, nutrition, and maybe even training is bodybuilders. I hate to say it.
Oh,
bodybuilders will give you horrible, shitty advice.
That's in one ear and out the other, dude. No, ain't nobody listen to that. But why? Because they all look the best, bro. It's so hard to tell someone that when it's like, fuck you. How are you going to tell me like that? That I'm not going to listen to this guy?
They make them their champions. You know, they're gods. They're these people that they're like, yeah, I'm in the gym to look like that guy. Mm-hmm. Well,
and anytime, even when I've gotten into like social media debates or I'm talking something like that, it's just like, well, you look at him. It's obviously working.
Look at this. This is working.
It's so dumb.
Lower bicep. It's working.
I'm going to take a picture of Justin's calves and be like, look, not working out your calves works.
All day.
Fuck.
Don't do anything.
Ethan Hale 33, what are your opinions on unconventional training, such as kettlebells and ending clubs? And what's the most effective and how to incorporate them into your program?
Oh, Justin.
I love this question.
Every time I hear the word Indian clubs, I just think of like nightclubs.
Yeah.
You know,
like discotecas. Yeah. No, I'm surprised that he actually brought up Indian clubs. I still feel like it's one of those tools that not a lot of people have been exposed to before.
No, not at all.
And it's...
They're going to get bigger. They're getting bigger.
Well, just the fact that Onnit talks about them, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And it's such a, I guess it's even more of a skill than even kettlebells. You know, I might piss off kettlebell people, but.
Fuck you. Indian clubs are way harder.
You know what I mean? A lot more technical, a lot more coordination involved. And so, you know, people look at that right away and are like, oh, I can't do that. And, you know, there's a process to it, and there's a way that, you know, you learn how to handle them properly. You learn, you know, how to get proper mobility out of your wrists, your elbows, your shoulders, like all these things in rotation. You start to figure out, wow, my body's capable of a lot more movement than I even have ever done before. And it's tools like this that kind of provide that, because it directs a lot of the momentum and the movement in a direction that, you know, your joints just have to sort of flow into that position with. So I love it because it also adds in that resistance to get that tensile kind of strength element in there with, so it becomes more mobility and not just like I'm swinging with momentum. So
I, you know, my opinion on unconventional training has shifted over the last year. One of the things I love about this podcast is it has accelerated my evolution as a trainer or as a fitness professional quite a bit.
I think each one of us could say that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been very open. I've always had great respect for unconventional training. I always saw benefit to it. But as I've worked with Justin and Adam and watched, you know, Justin, I would say, is definitely the expert amongst the three of us in unconventional training, but watching Adam incorporate some of it and incorporating some more of it myself,
he kind of makes it more relatable, I think.
Well, it's just when you start to see someone else do it, and then you start to do it, and then you start to see what it does to you. I don't care who you are as a trainer. One of the best things you could do to make yourself a better trainer is to try different things. Even if you don't like it, eventually you can talk about it better and you understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's something that I always constantly have to remind myself of. But you know, incorporating some of this unconventional training into my arsenal, I've noticed a tremendous carryover to my favorite parts of lifting, which are the barbell movements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you a great example. I've done kettlebell this is a very basic example. I've done kettlebell shoulder presses in the past, but I've never made them a regular part of my routine. If I worked out my shoulders, it was with dumbbells and barbells, and then maybe I'd throw in some kettlebell stuff once or twice a month at most. As with any kind of training, the best results you're going to get out of it, or the things you're going to squeeze out of it, are going to happen with practice and frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you do. So if you really want to get the most out of unconventional training, you should do it relatively frequently and incorporate it into your regular routine. And so I had been incorporating kettlebell shoulder presses as my shoulder press of choice on a pretty consistent basis. And then more recently, I've been incorporating kettlebell holds. I had a conversation with Justin about 3 weeks ago. And he actually brought it up on one of our episodes about how he loves doing kettlebell holds, while he'll like press the kettlebell up straight, stay strong and straight, and hold it for a minute, or walk with it, or keep it to his chest and walk with it. And so I started doing those, and two things I noticed. One, I got sore differently than I normally do. And that doesn't necessarily tell me it's a good thing. It just tells me something different happened. But number two, when I went back to trying my overhead presses with barbells and dumbbells, I was much stronger, and I got stronger faster than had I not done those movements.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, it does. It does a lot of different things for you. So if you're just like barbells and dumbbells, and that's your thing, I highly suggest you incorporate unconventional training because you will notice better gains in building muscle and better gains in your barbell and dumbbell lifts. And the best way that I found to incorporate these into a program is to literally incorporate them into your regular program. So you don't necessarily do like, okay, one day a week I'm doing unconventional training. No, at the end or beginning of your workout, add two or three of these movements. Mm-hmm. So if today's my full body workout and I'm, you know, in between, in the middle of my workout, I'm working out my shoulders, I am doing, instead of doing my traditional dumbbell and barbell stuff, I'm going to do three, you know, unconventional movements that I know tend to stress my delts a little bit. Or maybe at the end of my workout, I'm going to incorporate sled pulls or sled pushes, or maybe like I did yesterday. You know, yesterday I did a superset, and so my normal superset on Mondays will be sissy squats to front squats. What I did instead was I pushed and pulled the sled straight to front squats. And so incorporating things in that way, I think, will make it more likely for you to be consistent in your routine, and then you can really see the carryover. But I think everybody, I don't care what kind of training you're doing, you should incorporate some of this stuff. I don't know. Adam, how have you added this stuff into your training?
Oh, every day I probably have something that's unconventional, whether it be a kettlebell, whether it be a sled.
But do you do it like at the beginning, at the end, or do you do it like as part of the like the middle of the routine where you throw it in?
Honestly, it really depends. It's always something different, you know. I like that. I like playing with you know, like you did the other day. I've done that before, you know, where I've pushed the sled, then I've gone over to front squats before. Or I did a post a while back of you know, we did a demo on doing a sled pull where I drop down at 90 degrees and I'd walk it back almost like gone.
Like a leg extension.
Like a leg extension. And so instead of like, so I squatted for, you know, 45 minutes and then at the end I drug the sled like that and just had this massive pump from it. So I'm doing different things. I love kettlebell work. A lot of my kettlebell stuff, if I do kettlebell, especially shoulder stuff, I like to do that first. I feel like it really helps loosen me up and mobilize my shoulder before I go do like a barbell movement. So if I were going to do kettlebells for shoulders, I would do those first. Because I feel like I said, it helps me versus the other way around versus going to a, you know, barbell press and then doing kettlebells. Mm-hmm. I feel it's more beneficial for me to do that first.
See, that's what I mean by integrating. That's exactly what I've been doing. And I've noticed the best results that way.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I use things like that. But I, you know, I mean, even like I did a lateral raise with kettlebells the other day, and just the handle of holding that is different than holding the barbell. I liked the way it felt on my shoulder. And that wasn't like before or after anything. It was just in the middle of my workout. I'm always doing something. I love the sled. I love the sled probably more than anything. I'm training legs at least 3-4 times a week. So, you know, mixing that up. A lot of times what I'll do, like, let's say it's, you know, the second or third time I'm coming in to do legs and I got them pretty good. Maybe I did heavy the other day. That might be a day where all I do is different sled pushes and pulls, you know, and just working on full range of motion. Sometimes I'll push the sled and I'll do it in an unconventional way too, where I'm not just pushing it straight. I'm taking large steps out to the left and to the right and just trying to open my hips up and taking it through full range of motion. I love those things because to me, they carry over into real life more than anything else. You know, there's been more times in my life where I'd had to like push something or create leverage like that and stride off than I have done most of our exercises that
I think that's you hit on kind of a point that brought me out of like the Gold's Gym and the, you know, the more commercial kind of setting where I'm not only doing barbell lifts, but I'm also, you know, incorporating machines. I found that like once I got outside of that and I was incorporating these unconventional lifts on top of my barbell lifts, it added a new dimension to where like my movement, it helped, you know, aid in my movement. So Adam's talking about going like a little bit wider and all that. Like you could get, there's a lot more freedom to it as opposed to being structured. So everything is in the sagittal plane or everything's in, you know, the frontal plane or, you know. Like if you do more of these unconventional exercises, it really places you in multi-plane, and you have to be able to react and respond and stabilize the weight properly through all these different movements.
Well, see, here's what trips me out. What trips me out, and I know that a lot of the listeners can relate to what I'm about to say, because a lot of our listeners hear that, hear the multi-planar, hear the functionality, hear about the mobility. And a lot of them are like, you know, I really don't care. Like, I have a desk job.
Right.
I just like to look good.
Look good.
And maybe I just want to get strong in a deadlift, squat, and a bench press. Mm-hmm. So it's not that big of a deal to me. So I'm not going to spend time doing it. Well, here's what you need to understand. Incorporating and integrating. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to go do a whole, like, you know, 5-week course of just this kind of training or whole workouts dedicated to them. I mean, that would be awesome. But you don't have to. My point is you can integrate them into your workout, throw one or two of them into your routine, and you're going to see better visible results. Like, your body's going to look better. You're actually going to build more muscle. And those traditional lifts, you may very well increase them like I have.
Oh,
like,
you're going to optimize those lifts. There's right. No way you can't. It fills a lot of those gaps as far as being supported from different angles that you weren't as supported with. So it makes you feel stronger.
Well, here's one of my favorites. Here's a great one that I've done a couple times now.
You done the shit in your pants there, buddy?
My bladder is like this big, dude.
You had to leave and go pee?
Well, you know, I forgot that, you know, this is a different time for us, and I drank a gallon.
You're on a different schedule.
Yeah, I am on a different pee schedule.
Listen, Adam. It's unexceptable.
Yeah.
Next time you fucking
dare you interrupt me.
Next time you fucking piss your pants.
I tried to leave when we got to when Doug was going to go to the jiu-jitsu. I didn't know you were going to continue on.
I
had nothing to fucking add to that.
Well, so
I was like, I could definitely pee during that question.
Yeah. Well, see, here's what's interesting. You left the room to go pee. Me and Justin continued without a hitch.
Not even a hitch.
Then you came in and interrupted the question. Yeah, so because you had to announce that.
Justin said that.
Oh, my bad.
The audience wouldn't even have known I was gone.
I fucked you up, Sal. Oh,
my
sorry.
Bad. No, what I was going to say, fuck you, Justin. What I was going to say is one of my favorite combos, check this out. One of my favorite combos, and you can do this any way, is to do an explosive sled movement, like a high pull. So I do that down the track. I don't get super fatigued, but I feel that explosive pull. Then it goes straight to a heavy single and a deadlift. Oh, shit. Ooh. I good love combo. That. I love it. So for me, like let's say my max is, I don't know, 560 on the deadlift or 540 or 550 or whatever, right in that range. I'll load the bar with 500. So I know I could do a single with it. It'll be heavy, but I could do it. That'll be my single. And I'll take the sled and I'll just go maybe one length down the track, do high pulls, get real explosive. Then I won't run to the deadlift. My goal, I'm not trying to run, like, fatigue the shit out of myself. I'm just getting those muscles to fire quickly with something unconventional.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the deadlift, do a heavy single, put it down, rest, and repeat. And let me tell you, that right there, I've done that a couple times now, and I've noticed more connection to the barbell. And then when I go to just a traditional, just straight barbell deadlift, I feel like I can pull faster off the ground.
Mm.
Now you can do it the flip. You could do a real heavy single and then do the high pulls with the sled. And in that case, I am working to fatigue with the sled. So then right. I am going until I get real tired. Then I get a full rest and then I repeat.
I like that. I've done the single arm kettlebell snatch right before the deadlift like that. So do a heavy single arm snatch,
exactly.
three reps, that's it.
And then go pull hard.
Yeah. It just sparks a real, like almost like torque.
Yes.
Like your torque goes through the roof.
You are priming your body for a heavy lift.
Yeah, but I've never tried the sled. I'll have to do that the next time we're inside there.
Kenneth Coy is asking how to incorporate lifting with Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Well, I wonder who picked this one.
Yeah, I don't have a background in
that. Go ahead, defer this one.
Well,
unless we talk in general, right?
Well, yeah.
You could wear your robe while you do squats.
Did you just call it a robe?
It is a robe.
No, you might as well call it pajamas.
It's called a gi. All right, bro.
Yeah.
I almost had to fight you.
Yeah.
I saw that in your eyes. How dare robe. You call it?
Yeah.
You can wear your smoking jacket while you're...
No.
Oh, my God.
So...
They're coming after
no,
you.
No, I think this is a good question because I think we should talk about how to incorporate lifting with any type of athletic training. So there's really two general categories of the way you should lift weights if you're an athlete. Category one is how you lift in the off season, and then category two is how you lift in season, and they both have different intents.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm lifting off season, my goal is to improve my strength performance. I'm trying to actively get stronger in, you know, core lifts. I'm trying to make my body more muscular, mm-hmm. More solid with better tension. My goal is to improve. When I'm lifting in season, my goal is now to prevent injury and to maintain. I am not.
And to just sharpen and fine tune your skill on the field.
That's it. Because if I lift weights while I'm in season to improve, and my goal is to improve in the gym while I'm in season, in football season, or let's say I'm competing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and I'm training for competition, you are asking for injury and burnout. It's not a good idea.
So as an example, like give us maybe like a move that you would work on in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and then how you would work on that specific skill maybe in the weight room or something.
Well, if we're talking about specifically to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, like a throw.
Okay,
like a major hip throw. What would you do in the gym to improve that?
So Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu doesn't include throws, but it's not nearly as explosive.
That's more judo, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's nearly as explosive as judo.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the rules are you get points for a takedown. You get points for particular positions like passing the guard and for things like knee on belly or the mount or taking the what they call the rear mount. You get points for all those, and the highest points go to taking the back or for a front mount. But you don't win. You can't win a competition besides having the higher points at the end of the competition when time runs out. But you can't instantly win a competition in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu unless they tap out. That's how you win. Right, it doesn't matter if you're 30 seconds or whatever, you get them to tap out, you win the match. That's the only way to fully win a competition. Whereas with judo, you can win with a tap out, you can win with a 30 second pin, or you can win with a what they call an ippon, which is a full throw. And that's how a majority of the matches in judo are won. Or how you really want to win is by doing a full, complete, throw where the person lands on their back in a particular way. So judo is much more explosive in that sense. And they limit your ground game. You hit the ground, and it's very limited. They'll call you back up after a certain amount of seconds of not, like, super active activity. Like, you can't just, like try to work. Like, with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's a lot slower.
A lot of groundwork going on there.
It's all groundwork.
They'll leave you down there the whole time.
In fact, when I competed about 4 or 5 times, and when people figured out that I did judo, which they could tell after my first match, that everybody watching would be like, okay, he did judo, the guys would just jump guard, or they would sit down on their butt. And so I couldn't get points from a throw, and I'd have to engage them on the ground. That's perfectly legal in Jiu-Jitsu. In judo, if you do that shit, you're out, because you have to actively try to throw each other. So the type of conditioning in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a little different. It's not as explosive as judo. Judo fighters are very explosive. It's like boom, boom, boom. It's like more like a wrestler. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is lots of tension, lots of tightness, lots of holding a position, lots of strength endurance in those positions.
Sounds a lot like isometrics.
Lots of isometrics. Like, a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy gets you in a lock or a hold, they can place a squeeze on you that you cannot fucking believe. Like, if they get you in a triangle choke, or they close their guard on you, or they put you in a position and they want to squeeze you, it's like a boa constrictor. It will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And so you want to be able to, with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you want to incorporate isometric movements in your lifts, and they're fantastic to superset with heavy lifts. All the heavy traditional barbell movements, great carryover into whatever. I don't care what sport you do. So get good at deadlifting, get good at squatting, get good at overhead press and barbell, bench press and all that stuff. But then also, let's say I do, let's say I'm doing a back movement, and I do a heavy barbell press, row. Right after that, I might jump up to a pull-up bar, pull myself up, and then hold myself there for time and just stay really fucking tight. Or do a pull-up with my gi. So I'll hang the gi over the bar and pull myself up with the grips, because your grip is extremely important.
So you're basically holding a position, and you're just trying to really
get comfortable.
Get comfortable, get leverage, get as much recruitment as you possibly can centered in that one area or that one movement pattern that you're really trying to.
And the key here, the mistake I see people making when they're doing this kind of training is that they do it to fatigue. So they'll hold themselves to fatigue, which will reduce your strength.
Right.
So you want to treat it like your regular lifting. You want to get up there, hold, get real fucking tight. And let's say you could max hold yourself at the bar for a minute. Yeah. Well, then you're doing sets of 30 or 40 seconds. And that's about it. But if you're in season, if you're in competition, train light, aim for full range of motion, just to get the muscles to move and feel good. If you're off season, then lift for strength, lift for improvement. And here's the other thing: you're not going to lift as much as often as someone who just lifts. So if I'm doing jiu-jitsu 3-4 days a week, then 2 days a week of lifting is plenty.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu, then I can lift much more.
Overload your CNS.
No, it's just too much.
Juan Martinez 9966 is wanting to know how to talk to women.
Justin.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I'll take this one, guys. I'm the married guy, but still have ideas. I can pick you up, girl.
This was a big one on the forum just recently.
Yeah, I think it was the same guy. I posted this and a shit ton of people.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
It might have been. It's Juan. Yeah, it's Juan. It's my boy Juan.
I wasn't sure if he was the one who started it or not. I know that it was quite the thread.
You know what this reminds me of? So I don't
talking
to women is or just talking to anybody is effective communication, aka sales skills.
There you go.
And I hate to say sales because people listening are like, oh, you're selling someone something they don't want. No. Mm. A good salesman believes in what they're selling.
Well, so you're presenting yourself. So, I mean, you can't deny that.
It is. And here's the biggest risk or the biggest problem with talking to anybody, whether you're talking to a woman because you want to maybe get a date, or you're talking
you're
talking to somebody because you want to talk to them about your product.
Sorry, that's creepy.
Or whatever. People are so afraid of rejection that's what fucking fucks them up the whole time. That's why they freeze.
They're hung up on that.
If you get over that, if you get over the fear of rejection, your game, quote unquote game, will improve dramatically, whether it's sales or whether it's just trying to talk to women. If you go up to a woman and you're okay with her saying no or her rejecting you, I promise you, your game will be much better. So step number one, get over it. Get over the fact that person may not be interested in you. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't mean you're not attractive. It doesn't mean that you're not whatever. It just means that person is not interested in you. Big fucking deal.
And you want to make sure you're presenting yourself and putting yourself out there and it's authentic. You know, like I feel like
comfort, confidence.
Well, it's a lot of it. You could pretty much see what's artificial and what's real, like pretty quickly. We're very good at identifying like foreign, like something is off with this person. You know, like whatever it is, if it's if it's women when they put like too much makeup on, or you know, there's just too much stuff that they're hiding. You know, like I feel like that's going to become a problem later on. If maybe you put like the skills on and you wooed them into your trap or whatever it is, but it has to get real at some point, you know. So it just depends on what you're trying to attract.
Yeah, and think about it, like if you're walking up to a woman and you're okay with being rejected, your confidence level goes up quite a bit.
It's all confidence.
And you ask any woman what is one of the most attractive things about a man, and it's confidence.
Well, it's the same with women. I'm attracted to confident women.
Of course. But he's talking about talking to women.
Yeah.
If you're not afraid of that, you're probably going to be a lot more confident. And a great way to open any conversation, and again, I'm speaking from sales now, but I think this would apply here too, is to ask a question. Asking a question is an easy way to open a conversation. Like go up and ask her about her shoes, ask her about the music, ask her about what she's reading. Ask her about anything.
Why she's the hottest one in her group of friends.
Right. Oh, yeah. Why are all your friends
how
ugly?
How did that happen?
That might not work.
That
might not work.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, he's saying it a really nice way.
Yeah. You know, like,
I use that one a lot.
How does it feel being the second best looking person among your group of friends?
Well,
my God, how'd you get these cows?
Okay, so you laugh, but there is some truth. There's some truth to that. You know, as a kid, I was the skinny, poor kid with crooked teeth, and I was not
hung like a horse.
Took a while to grow.
I'm sorry, bro. You were talking so much shit about yourself. I had to pump it up.
I know. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Which that didn't do me any good when I was a kid because I wasn't having sex as a kid, so I didn't lose my virginity until I was 20. So, but I still had girls and girlfriends at a young age.
Held on to a secret weapon.
Well. I had to find my identity and early on because I was not I didn't have the money, I didn't have the looks, I wasn't the star quarterback. So for me, my sense of humor is what probably carried a lot of my conversation with women. And I was not afraid to be rejected. In fact, I think I embraced that. I think at the very beginning of like talking to women, I think I would try and say the most off the wall shit in hopes they would reject me. Mm-hmm. And then how would I handle that?
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to say something so off the wall. She's definitely going to say no, but then I'm going to say something funny right after that to keep the conversation going. And I would practice that.
Example.
So an example would be like, I would walk up to a girl I've never spoke to and I would go directly right for the clothes. Like, is Friday or Saturday better for you?
Yeah.
And they would look
at
you.
Too close.
Yeah. Just totally like, huh? What are you talking about? Is it better for me to pick you up on Friday or Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be, and if they said something like totally rude and mean, like, no, I wouldn't do that with it. And then I'd, why not? Why wouldn't you go out with me on Friday? Am I too ugly for you?
Yeah.
I'm not funny enough for you?
Yeah.
You like taller? You like shorter? You like blondes? What do you, you know, like, so I would not be afraid of her saying no and rejecting me. In fact, I would continue to put the pressure back on her by asking funny questions. And I wouldn't do it in a pressuring way. I would do it in a funny way. Like we're making fun of me.
Yeah.
So I was okay with that early. I was okay with no, getting told no and you know, being made fun of. And you just can't allow that fear. And I think Sal said that really well of, you know, I think most guys get hung up on that. So worried about what she's gonna, who gives a fuck what she's gonna say.
Yeah.
I'll never forget working with a guy one time.
Too much value in that.
Yeah. He
her response.
I'll never forget. We were in our early 20s and I used to tease him because he literally fucking talked to every woman in the gym, every single one of them. I'm like, dude, who do you not hit on? He's like, bro, it's a numbers game.
You know? Yeah.
He's like, if I talk to 10 women, one of them is bound to say yes to me. And sometimes I get lucky and it's the dime piece and sometimes it's not so much, but it's all good practice. You know, it's he really had that mentality. And you know, a part of me was like, you know, they're so, it's true though. You know, you can't, we get so, and for guys.
Here's a good question. It's like, hey, do you listen to Mind Pump?
Yeah.
Boom.
That is. Any,
would that work?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Any.
The new pickup line.
Any opening question. But I like to
downloads are getting about to increase, gentlemen.
Yes. Yeah.
Like it depends too. Like the scene.
That was like a metaphor.
The scenery and what you're in, where you're at, what's going on. Are you in a bar? Are you in a gym? Are you, you know, I think that would decide what I would say to that girl at that moment. But
right.
Most certainly, I love coming with off the wall, off color type questions that right away, you know what that does? It shifts the uncomfortable, awkward side from you to that person.
Yeah.
You got this beautiful girl that you're looking at that you're all nervous inside that you want to go talk to. And you're just like, fuck, she's so hot. I don't know if she would like me, this and that. Fuck that. I'm going to make her nervous. I'm not going
to. I'm going to be honest. I used to like literally like plan like tripping right in front of them or spilling something on myself. I shit you guys not, and it would work like a gem.
So you'd
like, I'd be like walking by with my drinks and I'd be like, ah, just like this shit would spill all over me. And then she'd be like, oh my God. And she'd like try and help me like, oh my God, thank you. God, I'm such a klutz, you know?
It's such a random fucking.
Wait a minute.
Oh my God. It fucking works.
Bro, that's some fucking brilliance.
Screw
right
you
there.
Guys. You think I have no game, dude. Like it
that's some fucking brilliance.
It worked.
Wow.
But you have to have the right kind of personality where you can make fun of yourself and do crazy
shit. But see, what is that display?
Yeah.
What is that display that you're okay making fun of yourself?
Yeah.
Confident.
Well, it makes them feel comfortable too.
It humanizes you, right? Yeah. It totally humanizes.
But it makes you confident. Like you have to be confident to be able to make fun of yourself.
Yep.
I think where guys go wrong the most though is when they try and spit a line. They try and have a line that they say or they make it up bigger than what it is. I mean, just fucking say hi. Just walk over and say hi to someone.
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, don't be afraid of them not liking you.
And the more comfortable you get with that, the more comfortable you with what you'll say. You know, as you get real, like now I'm so comfortable. If I were to see a beautiful woman, I would just tell her, you're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, has someone told you that today? You know, someone should have told you that today. If not, they're all pussies.
Yeah.
You know,
has someone told you you're beautiful today?
Yeah.
Why, yes, they have.
Yeah.
Well, they're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you just can't. You can't be afraid to come up and say anything. I think where people get caught up is trying to put all the words together. Like,
it's like some formula. Like they're trying to memorize what that one guy with the magician hat told him to say.
Yeah, you know I would.
I hate that stuff.
It fucking worked. Remember the videos?
It does work because it. Well, I don't know. It's definitely
name?
Like psychology. They're playing off of with
what
women.
Was his name? He had like a fucking weird name,
mystical or something.
Yeah, it was some stupid shit.
Yeah,
he had eyeliner and fucking.
I used to do stuff too, stupid. Where I'd walk up to the girl and say that your girlfriend had just came up and said you wanted to ask me something. You know, once again putting her on the spot. I'd be like, oh no, what?
I mean,
what?
Those work because you know, yeah. Immediately, oh my God. It's like you have to talk.
Yeah, you have to talk. And then when she goes, no, I didn't say that. Like, yeah. Oh, well, this feels.
They're like, hi.
This feels totally uncomfortable. Now, this whole time, I thought you were checking me out. And I looked over at you. I thought, God, you're beautiful. I want to come over and say hi to you. And then I find out it was your friend was just messing with me. That's fucked up. By the way, what's your name? You know what I'm saying? It's just getting your foot in the door and being having that confidence. Who gives a fuck if someone says no to me or whatever? Being able to
zero
roll
fucks. There it is.
Yeah, no, that's where a lot of that comes from. So you just get away from being afraid of embrace rejection. As a man, we should be used to it by now. I actually feel more.
That's true.
I feel more for women. Like, dude. I remember like teaching like female trainers like sales and closing. They're harder to teach because they're not used to rejection.
They're not used to people saying no to them.
Yeah, they're not used to people saying no. So teaching those girls.
Oh, we'll really make this work. Yeah, let's do this. Yeah, like, girl. We don't get that kind of
guys, I feel like
cheerleading.
Man.
Not only that, but okay, think of it this way. You're a relatively pretty woman. Fuck, you're not a pretty woman. You're at a bar. Chances are, just sitting there, some dude's gonna come talk to you. Might not like him or not, but do you know how rare that is to happen to a guy where he's at a bar and a girl just approaches him? It's so rare, in fact, that I guarantee you the men listening right now can remember every single time that's happened to them because it hasn't happened very many times.
Right. Yeah.
So fuck you.
So I would do weird shit. You know what though? You say something like that, I would do funny shit too. A group of girls, I'd be by myself at the bar like that. I would go walk over right in the center of the room. I'd bend over like right in front of them and like, and then look back at her. Like, are you checking my ass out right now?
You're on my level,
bro.
Dude.
I do crazy shit. Yeah, like
I do crazy stuff.
And
too.
To me, none of it's scripted. None of it's. I don't plan any of it. It's spontaneous. Yeah. It's what that scenario that I'm in right then and there. Like, she's got five friends. I'm by myself. Like, all the pressure should be on me, and I should be nervous. But now I'm gonna go over there and act a fool. Yeah. I'm gonna go over there and act a fool in front of all them. And the chicks love that. They love. They eat that up. That you're okay with that. That you're okay with making fun of yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't the guy who acts like a fucking thinks he's cool and walks over all suave and has some like that guy is the guy that all the girls make fun of. Mm-hmm. The guy who's kind of goofy and shy and this
super
that
handsome. And as then long you get as away with everything. Yeah. Right, Adam?
Not always, bro. Actually, believe it or not, I had a harder time getting older. When I got in shape, I got braces, fixed my teeth, put a little bit of money in my pocket. Have a harder time talking to women now than I did back then, and that's because I get judged. Like I know what that feels like, where someone just immediately assumes that I'm an asshole or arrogant or feel that way. It's like I have to break that wall down.
I can see that.
Thank you, Dick. But as a kid, when I had fucked up crooked teeth, I was broke.
Well, maybe we should fuck your face up a little bit.
Like, get out of here.
Knock out a couple teeth.
Get out of here. You had to work on your personality. Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like it and we pick it among the best ones, we will send you a free limited edition Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Justin at Mind Pump Justin, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and also check our programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.